Hi, this is Ben Yagoda. When I open up the New York Times, the first thing I turn to, sometimes the only thing I read, is the obituaries. I know I'm not the only person who does this. The great comedian Carl Reiner used to say that he read the obits first. If I'm not in them, then I eat breakfast. It's definitely a good thing to confirm that you're still among the living, but the reason I love the obits is that they're so darn interesting. Over the past year, such eminences as Tony Bennett, Rosalind Carter, Harry Belafonte, and Norman Lear have passed away. And on those occasions, it's good to be reminded of their accomplishments and experiences. But to be honest, the obits I'm most drawn to are of the less celebrated. In just the last couple of weeks, here are some of the people the Times has memorialized. Penny Simpkin, 85, known as the mother of the doula movement. Her innovations included the squatting bar, which is attached to the hospital bed for the mother to hang on to. It opens the pelvis and allows gravity to help with the baby's delivery. Terry Carter, 95, who was a rare black actor on Combat and The Phil Silver Show, and then made well-regarded documentaries on Duke Ellington and Catherine Dunham. Frederick Solani, 75, a con man whose serial frauds included a waterfront development in Buffalo, a civil rights law firm in California, and a package delivery company in Springfield, Illinois. Barbara Jones, 89, who in her 60s set off on a hulking Harley Davidson and found a new area of anthropological research, bikers, and in particular, female bikers. And Carl Erskine, 97, a star pitcher of the Brooklyn Dodgers glory years, who is known as Oisk and was the last surviving member of the Boys of Summer. Except for Erskine, I hadn't heard of any of these people, and I found all their stories fascinating. That experience, which I've had for years, even decades, has always made me think, wouldn't it be great to tell about the lives of such fascinating people while they're still among us? And so was born this podcast, The Lives They're Living. Each week I'll speak to a guest who has special expertise on someone who's done remarkable or interesting things and who's flying a little bit more under the radar than they really deserve to be. In the first four episodes, I talked to Gene Seymour about the novelist, poet, and provocateur Ishmael Reed.
All the everything that I loved, that I was being influenced on, I was seeing and holding in my hands as a book. And to me, this was tremendously liberating, you know, and offered many possibilities. I think the main thing that I had drawn from him and that I continued to draw from him over the decades is the way he widened the space for a certain kind of expression, mm-hmm. where everything was fair game.
Lori Gwen Shapiro about Abigail Thomas, who has found great success and acclaim as a novelist and memoirist relatively late in life.
Abigail Thomas has a special place in my heart. First of all, she's an incredible writer, and it's not just me that's her super fan. You'll find people like Stephen King thinking she's one of the great writers that is living. But not everyone knows her name, but the people that know her, it's like we're in a club. Yeah. Like, and I have Abigail's voice in my head all the time.
David Bean Cooley on the musician and writer Mason Williams.
One evening, he invited me to smoke some pot with him. Mm-hmm. Now, I, sadly for a child of the 60s, I didn't do that. I still don't do that. So I politely said, no, thanks. I'll be the journalist. You be the creative person. We'll keep it. And he said, yeah, but I got this from David Crosby. And I thought then, and I still think now, number one, I should have done it, because how often can your first drug experience be from David Crosby's pot?
And Michael Tisserand on Jules Feiffer, who's best known as a cartoonist, but has done a host of other things, including writing the screenplay of probably the most depressing movie ever made about man-woman relations, Carnal Knowledge.
I asked Feiffer about Norman Mailer one time, and he summed up their relationship like this, that Pfeiffer and Mailer ran into each other on a subway, and they looked at each other, and Mailer said, "Once again, Jules, we have nothing to say to each other."
I hope you'll join me on The Lives They're Living, wherever you get your podcasts.